Jesus' name. Let's stand together. If you'd like. Amen. You're happy to be out tonight. It's every opportunity, saints. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Oh, God, when we think of all the, Lord, places we could be, Father, if it wasn't that your grace has, Lord, put a desire in our hearts to serve you, Lord, and to fulfill your word of, Father, from the forsaking not, assembling ourselves together. And Lord, we can gather together here, Lord, in your sweetness and kindness spirit. Father, to be able to draw closer to you. Father, leave the world behind, its cares and its worries. Lord, it's so wonderful. Praying, Lord, that you would just bless each and every one that's made the effort to come. Lord, may your will be done in everything. We love you so much. Yes. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our only bleed books, the big books there. Praise his name. Page 675. Let's start there. At Calvary. All the price he paid for, saints.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty.
He paid for, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Freely give.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Page 703. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust Him. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I grow Him more and more, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, oh, praise Your holy name. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how
do you know it? Hallelujah.
The end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I grow Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust.
God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Page 604. Turn with me there. Amen. I'll see you in the rapture. By His grace, the price He paid. Hallelujah.
If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, and if to God we have been true, and we've lived above all sin, then for us there'll be a meeting. Yes, there's going to be a greeting. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior, we'll my loved ones, let me say that there's sure to come a day when the Lord will come again and catch his waiting bride away. So get ready now to meet him. Greet him. I'll see you in the raptures. Oh, one day. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior, we'll live and reign forever. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day.
Sing it again. What a day.
Oh, I'll see you. Oh, very soon. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior, we'll live and reign forever. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day.
Oh, I'll see you in that rapture. Oh, if you don't have that assurance, saints, don't stop. Amen. Don't stop. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Praise the name. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Course on 642, I'm sure y'all know it. When I walk up the streets of gold. Amen.
Oh, when I walk up the streets of gold. Oh, when I walk up the streets of gold. How my heart will rejoice in that.
Can't fathom it, saints. Hallelujah. What it's going to be like. Praise his name. How many have something on your heart? Amen. Just hold before him as we bow our heads. Lord and Savior, Lord, we sing these songs, Father, and just lets our minds go back, Father, to the word that you've left us. Father, how Paul spoke about it, Lord. Brother Branham, Father, how you allowed him to cross over and to see a little taste of it. Father, Lord, I then go back to the scripture, Father. The half has even been told. Oh, what a day that's going to be, Lord. Father, we're looking forward to it. Lord, while we're here, though, Father, we have needs. Father, problems, trials, and tests. But, Lord, it's all for a purpose. Lord, that we may know you. Lord, when we get home, we'll love you so much more. Father, for we know that you're a Savior, a healer, a redeemer. Oh, all these things to us, so freely given. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you just reach down and touch every heart and every need. And Father, may they truly give you glory and praise to all they come in contact with. Lord, I, again, just continue to hold up our sister Finley. Father, how she's, Lord, it's been in a couple nights in the hospital now, Lord. But you know all the purpose about it, Father. And we just thank you for her healing. And Lord, just wait patiently for the testimony. We love you so much. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would somebody have a song on your heart? Amen. Praise his holy name. You got anything, Karen? All righty. Well, let's all stand then. Sing, of course, Only Believe. Let's ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Precious Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity to come, and for each one, Lord, that's taken the time to come and to separate ourselves out and to come under the presence of your precious word. Lord, we just ask tonight that you would have your way, and Lord, maybe we speak something that may be simple, Lord, or something that just seems so elementary, but Lord, if we can at least plant a seed, that Lord, through that you might be able to work in our hearts, we just ask, Lord, that you would use your word, and may we be able to take and say amen, Lord, for it's your word. And maybe if nothing else, as we reminisce and just realize how great our God is. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, and we ask your blessings upon your word. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hope you're happy to be out this evening. Amen. While you're still standing, turn your Bibles with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Amen. Actually, let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read that. Amen. Just bear with me this evening as we take a little text. Amen. And try to draw something from God's precious word to help us in our walk. I'm glad to see Brother Dallas with us this evening. It's wonderful to have him. Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's start here at the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And realizing God never does anything without a purpose, and realizing we all stand here tonight as individuals, humans, walking through this life that we call life, and living on a earth and seeing the moon and stars and all that's around us, and realizing it's all got a purpose. It just didn't happen by chance. And each one of us have gathered here tonight, and it wasn't by chance. We came here for a purpose. And we've come to let God speak to our hearts through the way of his precious word. And this whole Bible is some look at it as a storybook. And some look at it as just, it's a book of history. But it's a book of reality to those that have found themselves in God's precious word. And as God uses Brother Prophet Paul here was speaking to us in Romans, and we realize he was saying that God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So think about God preparing a people for his work. Yes. And for them people to be here, God started this journey way back, before there was ever a moon or a star, to make time for today. And you know, we may sit here, many of us read the Bible many times, and we hear a lot of things, but in Romans, the 12th chapter, let's read this here in the first two verses, and Paul speaking that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then this next verse, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes,
and you know, God does everything perfect every time. And he's never done anything that was out of cater. It's always right on time.
Yes, amen.
And to kind of think about that, I want you to think of ourselves as individuals tonight, and some of us sit here tonight, and we can farther along in our walk, and we can truly see the transforming power of God in our lives.
Yeah.
We can truly look into God's precious word and realize the time and the place that something began to strike our heart and it caught our attention. Mm-hmm. And then we begin to study and we begin to read and begin to pray and ask God to open up our hearts,
yes,
to what he was trying to show us out of his precious word. And realizing some of us were blessed to be born into a church, into a church family, and maybe to have these things so readily read to us as a child. And as we grow, it was readily available to us. And we know these things, and we hear these things. And we see God, and we've read little, you know, oftentimes there's little Bible story books put out and things showing God creating the moon and the stars. But God created everything that's here for one purpose, to glorify himself. And that through that, he would have a people that would come under subjection to him, that he would get the preeminence of, that he would be glorified and magnified as a Savior, a healer, the Almighty God, the great I Am, every aspect he wanted to be worshipped as. And I want you to think about that. Our lives have not always been. Tonight we stand here, each one of us that believe we've been born again and filled with his Holy Spirit, and our lives have been changed and we see it. Our lives didn't always look like they might have looked tonight. And you know, oftentimes I think of that as Paul has told us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And thank God some of us has had a lot of time to sit here and let God's word run over us and over us and over us, and to transform us and to shape us and to mold us into the character that Jesus Christ wanted us to be. And you know, let's turn back over to the book of Genesis and just read here where God started. I want you to think about this as God put it into text here for us. In Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it was nothing. It didn't look like anything. There wasn't no pretty flowers. There wasn't no trees growing. There was nothing to even want to be here at that time. No reason. But then listen, it says, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. So God is beginning to take something that was nothing and beginning to break it into something to bring forth a beauty that could be seen, so he could express himself as a creator. And think about that, is there was nothing. And now look, as we can look around and see where it's all at today, we can see the trees that are beginning to bloom. We see the grass turning green. We feel the warm breeze upon our skin, the sun shining on our face. And oh, there's just something in the body that just rejoices in the warmth and the life that God has created. But there was a time it wasn't like that. There was no rejoicing. There was no sun to warm it up. But God, in his great master plan, started to put this all together for a purpose. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so.
Yeah.
Oh, just think about that. Every time you bite into a big old juicy peach, and all this sweetness that you taste, God made that happen. He put the flavor in that. I want you to look at how wonderful it is. You know, you get a craving after you've had something like that, or maybe a big old juicy watermelon, or something you really like to eat. And oh, every time you go to take a bite, you just think where that came from. The great mighty God that created everything for his purpose put that here as he began to set things in order. And oh, just think about the magnitude of that. Everything that you touch, all the trees, everything in life, the sun, the moon, the stars. When you go out at night and you see the heavens just shining with stars, man has nothing. He can't do anything like that. But a great mighty God, can he created all things. We'll read it in just a moment. In the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night. And let them be there for signs, for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature which moveth with the waters, and brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see this take place. And now today we sit here as recipients and are able to look around us and see all God created and see it in movement. But God didn't just place us here to just be a fixture of time. But God was looking for a people. He was setting forth this in order in short form to a people that would to fellowship with him. He was alone with his thoughts, and he wanted to fellowship with one another and have a relationship. He wanted to be magnified and to glorified, and he needed subjects to do that. And by God's grace, as he began to create men, and we see that he's done, and now we sit here today as men and women, realizing that God has given us breath in our bodies to breathe, realizing that there's nothing out, no man can make a tree, no man can make a blade of grass, and no man can create a sun. And nobody has been able to make a moon yet. God is the great creator. And we'll read here in Colossians, the first chapter. No, you probably know it by heart, but let's just read it. In Colossians 1, and we'll just start there at the 15th verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Yes. And tonight, that's the only reason I'm here, is because in his great mind, he saw me before there was a moon or a star in this day and space. And he placed in my heart a desire. But he placed that in there when my life sure looked a lot like this earth did. It was without form, and it was void. And it was black, and it was dark, and I often wondered, what's the meaning of why I'm here? Why am I get up every day and live this life? Why do we go through what we go through? We see babies born, and then we see our parents maybe die, our grandparents pass away, or maybe a good friend, we lose them, and we look at all that's happening around us, and people shooting each other, and driving and mad, and just the world's in total chaos, and we may look at ourselves and go, what's this all for? Why am I here? But you know, God places a little special something down in the heart of man that's always hungering and crying and reaching out, that there's a thirst and a hunger that's beyond human reasoning, that's in there just pressing and pulling. And you know, at times, some of us may have never heard of a church. We may never knew anything about a Bible. We may have grew up not realizing it even existed. But God has a special way for each and every time and place, for every little seed to find its right spot to come into life. He knows exactly how, you know, sometimes you may not even realize how your paths are being directed. And you might rub shoulders with this person that turns into rubbing shoulders with that person that's led us and brought us to the path we're standing tonight. Mm-hmm. And you know, that may seem really simple, but God knows every one of us. And if we each one had time to stop and say where we've been and how we got to where we are today, you might just realize just how great and big God really is. Yes. Look at each one of us here. We've come from a different path. We've walked a different road. But in due season, he's brought every one of us right to where he wanted us to be. And it may look at our lives and we may say, oh, it's impossible. Look at what the shape I'm in. Look where I've come from. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. But if Jesus Christ ever starts drawing on your heart, or if he saw you in his mind before there was a moon or a star, there is nothing that can keep you from coming to the place he draws you to. It doesn't matter what forces may rise against you. He said he holds his own in the palm of his hand, and no man would pluck him from him. Think about that. You know, is each one of us, as we go through life, and maybe as a parent we have children, and we raise our children up in the admonition of the Lord, and we teach them all these things that are in this book, and that this is a book to be obeyed, and God's great plan of salvation, and all that's been written in here. And it started in Genesis 1. And that's the very beginning of learning and going through. And by God's grace, we've had a chance to have a prophet in this last age that's came and broke open the mysteries and tore off the seals to show what God's plan and hidden mystery was to individuals. Yes. But through that all, is we can't control anyone's life. You can't make me do anything. I can't make you do anything. I can try to influence you, but I don't have the power to change your mind. I don't have the power to make you want to be something that you're not. But Jesus Christ predestinated a people before there was a moon or a star. And he placed a little portion of himself down in there. And it don't matter how many rocks you pile on top of it, that life will come forth if it's inside there. And there's nothing that can keep it from happening. And by God's grace, as it begins to spring forth, is more into my message, it brings forth a reflection of the life that was in that seed. Mm-hmm. And I want you to think tonight, we as Christians that have been around this message a long time, and we hold this Bible, and we say that we've been predestinated, and we find ourselves hidden in the pages of God's precious word, the reflection of the life that was supposed to come forth has got to be vindicated and manifested and seen. Nobody has to ask if that's a blade of grass out there. Nobody has to ask if that's a tree growing over there. And that tree don't have to say anything. It just stands there all day long, swaying in the breeze. The rains fall on it. The sun shines. It gives shade. And nobody, it don't have to say one word. And everybody knows, hey, there's a tree over there. And by God's grace, that's the way it is with the life of Jesus Christ once it's placed inside. You won't have to ask anybody if you're a Christian. You won't have to go around and have people say you're a Christian. You don't have to go around and tell them you're a Christian. But that Christ life coming into the inside will change your life that may have been without form, may have looked void and had nothing to it. And it'll give you a purpose and a place. And you will see the reflection of that life coming forth. And not only you, but every passing by will see the reflection that's taken place from that life coming forth. That's pretty simple. And that's not great big words, but just think about it in the simplicity that it is. Nobody has to ask if that's a sun. Nobody has to ask if that's a blade of grass. Or is that a tulip? Or is that an Easter lily? Its life is bearing forth and it's evident and seen to everyone. And oh, if our lives would only but reproduce exactly what he said here, it would create such an atmosphere around us that we would be the salt of the earth and people would want to drink from us. And oh, how if we could but get into that place of a reflection of Jesus Christ so much that people could see his life living and see that there is a difference, that there is a people that don't just go to church, not a people that's just sitting in a building listening to someone preach and that makes them a Christian. No, but a life lived, love, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, all of the fruits of the Spirit being manifested, forgiveness. All these things, to kindness and tenderness. Think about all that's written in there in a very simplicity of God, of what he did, and showing it forth. And you know, we could read all night about what he's done. We started in Genesis 1, and we could go through every chapter and look at God's greatness. Look at the simplicity of God manifesting himself and shining forth what he said. He interprets his own word. He said, "Let there be light," and there it was. And the life of Jesus Christ, he said, God sent a prophet in this age to declare that if the life of Beethoven was in you, the works of Beethoven you would do. And that same word is living today. Think of Paul. What a prime example. Down there breathing out cursings, killing people, Christians, slaughtering them, putting them to death, and for all manner of things. But all it took was one word from Jesus Christ. And all one turn and a change of the soul. And look what happened and took place in his life. And then look at the reflections. Did anybody have to ask which side of the fence he was on then? No, it proved out in every day and every action that he had who was living in the throne of his heart. Oh, no more actions that were not identifiable, but it was showing forth perfectly that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever through his life. And it's going to be the same in our life, saints. It's got to be exactly just that. You know, there's so many quotes and things, but I'll just read this to kind of go along with what I was saying. As we are looking for God to transform our lives, he's got the power. And all he says, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I can give you rest." And all, but it takes a surrenderance to realize that look all around us at all that's taken place, but God is calling a people from that. That was not what he set this in order to be. But oh, Satan got in the middle of it and turned it into, he deformed it. As the Bible says, to be transformed, he was a deformer and he changed things. And oh, look at all that's happened. But listen here, this is in the power of power to transform. And he would read the scripture in Romans 12. He says, "But by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Oh, that's what we all want to know, how to do it. See, we are here and we love him. He saved us. Now we want to know what to do. And we're trying to take little steps this morning to raise up a little bit higher. And sometimes we have to hit things. You just hold on for a few till we see what it comes out to be. In Genesis, the first chapter, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we realize the Bible said in the beginning back there that this world was without form and it was void. There was nothing, just darkness and chaos. And what a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but a way into darkness yonder without light or anything. And the churning of the water and the wandering star twisted around and around in the orbits out there somewhere. It must have been a terrible mass of something lost like it was. It couldn't find its way. And that's what we become when we're wandering stars away from God. Just without hope, without God, without just churning around out in darkness, not knowing where we are going. But God took that great chaos of darkness and transformed it into a Garden of Eden, see? By his word, and that's how we're transformed, by God's word. When God said, "Let there be light," and that massive creation out there came over and around the sun and began to revolve around the sun and became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the word of God. It done the perfect will of God, for it was transformed from chaos into a Garden of Eden by the Word of God. And that's what we're here for. That's my message, and has been all along, is the Word of God. We must hold to that regardless what other things take place. Always stay with that Word. Always check out your motives and objectives. If it's according to the Word of God, if it isn't, leave it alone.
Yes.
But if it's with the Word of God and lines up with the Word of God, then you hold to that. And sometimes God, just like our little group here this morning, He lets it not happen just overnight. But we're the ones that get in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. He just says it, and it's going to be. For when He says anything, it's got to be. It's just going to be. And He lets it take its time. He never's in a hurry. So I want you to think about that, that God, look at what He could do and make and all that's happened. And He can take our lives that we've seen total chaos, and maybe even we still don't know exactly what we want to be in life. We don't know where we're going. We don't know why we're searching for what we're searching for. But He has the answer if we'll but yield and come His way. Amen. And just as obeying this will bring us right down the line to where we're supposed to be. And you know, it's so simple to me how God recorded His precious Word. And He sent a prophet in this age who brought it in simplicity. He didn't use big words. He just brought it and tied it right back into the Scriptures. But men want to make it so complicated, and they want to make it so hard, and so you got to do this or you got to do that. If we would just take God at His word in His simple prayer and faith believing. Just think about Peter. All he did was preach to him and tell him exactly what they did and who Jesus was and explained it to him right down the line. Was it Peter that was out there pricking them in their heart? No, the Holy Spirit upon His own word was pricking their heart and bringing about the change that was needed. And oh, God's word in simplicity every time will bring the results, because it's God watching over His own word to make sure that it doesn't go out void and it will return to Him. Oh, each and every time, and it will bring forth life exactly as God put it forth. Amen. That's a short sermon and just very little bit. But you know how we should stop to think about what God's wanting for each one of us. And sometimes we get so lost looking into great big details and trying to search and define, where all it takes is prayer. Prayerfully considering God's word and crying out for revelation from Him. And Lord, what is Your purpose in my life? You know, we can study Scriptures and compare quotes, and we can go this. But if in simplicity and in crying out to God with an open heart and saying, Lord, You open my understanding. God gave us the fivefold ministry for a purpose, to bring these things back to our remembrance and to bring the Word to us, to renew our minds. But where is our desire to lay before Him open and saying, Lord, my portion, what do You want for me, Lord? What more can I do? Sometimes we get so crusted over that we don't think that there's any more climbing. There's no more room for me to get better. There's no more transforming power for me. But until He takes me home, there's a transforming power doing a work here, conforming me to His image. Yes. And every day my character is molded just a little bit more, just like Him. Yes. And by God's grace, I pray each one of us are finding our place in God's precious word, looking for that, hungering for that. Not just sitting around waiting, oh, one of these days it's going to come. But today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will but seek His face. And oh, may we truly be searching out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But oh, just think. God turned something that was nothing into all that we see around us. And He took my life when it was nothing, when my life had no meaning, it had no bearing, and it had no joy for anyone. Yeah. And He placed something down on the inside of me. And He, you know, we'll use our pastor, for example, because nobody else can, you can pick on your pastor. but just think, what makes Him the person that you just like to be around? Is that just Him as a person? No. But Jesus Christ said through a prophet that you create an atmosphere. Yes, and how many people have you run into that you know that the atmosphere is not one you want to get back in touch with? But by God's grace, our pastor, we believe God has filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's living in his life, and it's being vindicated out through him that he's been called to preach the gospel. And you see a life being lived that matches the words that are written in this book. And when that is happening, that creates an atmosphere. And when you get around our precious pastor and you go, I like to fellowship with that brother. And he puts his arm around another brother. It's not just the fellowship of a man to a man. But God placed a portion of his spirit in there. And when you can feel that sweetness, that humbleness, that meekness, there's just something, you get up close to somebody that's got that bubbling over inside of them, you can't help but just want to get a little bit closer. That's God in his greatness showing forth that when he places his life inside of you, there you will have an atmosphere. You will put forth a sweetness and a kindness and a gentleness, long-suffering, and it's all attributes that makes other people just want to rub up against you. As the prophet just used that old bear getting in the honey pot. And every mother little bears come over there and was licking all over him. They wanted to get some of that sweetness. That's how it ought to be with each and every one of our lives. We should put out such a atmosphere that people just want to be in your presence. They just want to talk to you. They just want to say a few words to you. They'd like to shake your hand, tell you maybe about what they're doing or a problem they're having. They can't help themselves because it ain't just the same life. When Jesus walked the shores, look at how they flocked to him. Not just for the miracles. The one little lady said, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Realizing there was something there, a life just oozing from him. Zacchaeus coming to his presence, hanging in a tree. And said, oh, I'm just going to see who he is. And all it took was Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to abide at your house. Look at the atmosphere that instantly was being surrounded and created. And oh my, may we create such an atmosphere by letting God have his preeminence in our lives. And oh, but realizing too that if somebody's got that atmosphere and maybe I don't have it, I can have that same atmosphere. It just, all I have to do is ask Jesus Christ, Lord, let me be one of your representatives in these last days. Oh, he knows exactly what we need, saints, more than we ever have. And I pray that you can take something from a chopped up little sermon. But God knows all about it. Amen. And I feel like I spoke what I was supposed to speak, and that makes me feel peaceful. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it ain't up to me to put it together and to make it work. But Jesus Christ, he put it all in there. And somehow, some way, he will use it to his glory and his honor. Amen. I was just a mouthpiece that gets to have a chance to speak a few words, and I pray that to God that somehow something will strike our hearts greater. Lord, let me be more like you. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, Make Me More Like Thee. Amen. Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus, make like thee.
Oh, give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee. Sing it again. Desire to want to be more like him. Amen. I really enjoyed that. Did you?
Amen.
I did. I thought it was real good just to reminisce and go back through and just see all those wonderful, beautiful nuggets. And that's a reality in your heart and your life. And what's it do? It just cause you want to stir. You're stirred to press on greater than ever, you know. Just press on. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So thankful for the Word of God. You know, if you didn't think the Word of God was precious, maybe something's wrong down inside. by, the Word of God will be precious every time you hear it, every time you read it, every time you study it. It should be precious in your heart. And how truly it will be if Christ fills you with His Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's just been so sweet and so good to be here this evening and to be able to gather here with You. And Lord, and we've assembled ourselves together here and You've renewed our minds back to the precious Word of God. And Lord, truly, I mean it from the depth of my heart. It's just so precious and so sweet. It's just such a blessing, Lord, to pick up Your Word and read it and to listen to it whichever way we get it, Lord. It's just so wonderful, and we thank You for that. We just ask now that You would just go with us again this evening now and watch over us upon the highways. Keep us safe, Lord. And if it be Your will and You tarry, Lord, bring us back to the next appointed time that, Lord, we could gather again around the Word of God. And, Father, anything in the Word that would maybe dig out anything in our lives that just didn't what You want, that's what we come here for. Lord, we've come here to find our short places. So we ask that You would help us now and in this blessed remainder of our week that we could serve You and surrender our life to You and just let You have a greater preeminence in our lives. We ask it all to Your glory and Your honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. May